Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our Thursday, January 22nd radio broadcast of the Gospel Pulpit. Well, it's a special day for me. 48 years ago today, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that this day is more important than my natural birthday, in a sense, because this is the day, 48 years ago, as an 11-year-old boy, I made an eternal decision. I made the decision to go to heaven. You see, God left it up to me. It's for whosoever will. Amen. God left that decision up to me. And I praise the Lord that He did. I'm glad that I get to make that choice. And I made my choice 48 years ago. And I've lived a good life. God's blessed me and called me to preach when I was a young man. And I've been in radio all these years. And I praise the Lord now how God's given me the radio audience and the radio ministry and given me the ear of many people that I preach to every day. I'm not worthy of that, but I also realize God has called me into that. So I'm not going to shirk away from that duty. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And in this coming year, I trust that you will pray for me, that God will help me, that I would be a Christian, that God would be pleased with, and that I would do the work of the Lord, and that I would do it with grace, and that I would do it, with zeal. I want to do what God's called me to do. Amen. The hour is late, and the need is great, and there's no room for debate. We need to go forward for God, live for Him in this great day. And I trust that you will. Amen. If you've been saved in any length of time at all, you ought to thank God for saving you. Amen. It's just a joy. And if you've been saved any length of time at all, you know that this has been a wonderful trip. You know, things always may not turn out the way we want them. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Well, I understand that. But you know, even with all the afflictions and the troubles and the trials, it's still worth being saved. Amen. Yes, it is. Father, will you take our message on this Thursday and use it now for your glory? Thank you for 48 years of being in the service of the Lord. And as we start this 49th year, I pray you'll help us now and do that is needed, Lord. And we'll love you and we'll thank you, Father, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We're preaching this week our final message in this series on prayer. I hope that it will be a real blessing to you as you listen today. And maybe you'll write for the message and get it and let it help you. Let's go to the message at this time. Pray for the other. And 5 minutes, you're through because you can't think of anything else to pray for. Shotgun praying is not consistent. Now, let me say this. If you holler when you pray and you pray out loud, that's up to you. You do what you want to do. Most praying that I do is in quiet, in secret. Nobody knows I'm praying. Amen. I can be praying. Nobody knows I'm praying. Do you know that? And by the way, I believe you ought to have a place. And I realize people's on the road all the time. I've heard preachers say, I pray when I'm driving. Well, that shouldn't be your main secret place because your mind's got to be on the cars and things. But now, I don't drive. And a lot of times I will pray. This is not my main place, but I will pray in the car. I tell my wife, I say, I'm going to pray a little while. She said, okay. And I thank God for prayer. Amen. I thank God for prayer. You know, if you're traveling on a long trip, I know these two preachers were in the car together, and one of them said, preacher, let me pray an hour, and then you pray an hour. And it worked. He prayed an hour, and then he prayed an hour. Amen. And they'd call. And by the way, but praying mostly is done in secret. So now here's the deal. When you're organizing your prayer list, number one, it will discipline you. Now, we live in an age, and again, we go back to emotionalism. Well, I can't pray by list because God ain't in that. Well, now, hold on just a minute. God is in some discipline. The more you study your Bible, you will find more things are in order than are not in order. Did you know the temple singing was arranged and it was an orderly singing? I don't know where us Baptists get that the bigger mess we make and the more out of order we are, the more God's in it. You know, well, the more out of order a service is, the more God's in. You just got people jumping up all over the service, you know, doing this, doing that, doing this, and doing that. Now, wait a minute. I believe in allowing the Holy Spirit. Nobody believes in the Holy Spirit more than I do. He's not the third part of anything. He's God Himself. I believe in the Holy Spirit. He lives inside me. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit believes in order. Did you know there's a verse in the book of Psalms, if we get to it, Psalm 5, David talked about morning prayer, praying in the morning, and he said he's going to direct his prayer to God. Now, I looked up that word direct one time, and I was real surprised at what it meant. It means to arrange in order. In other words, the psalmist was saying, I'm going to send my prayers in the morning time in order to you. Now, I've found something over the years of praying. It may not work for you this way, but I found that the morning time is the best time to pray down a prayer list. I find that you say, well, I'm going to do it when I go to bed. I found that morning is the best time to direct your prayer in order to God. All right. And by the way, that's the only time that word's found in that situation. David did it in the morning. I found it. I'm not saying you have to do a prayer list in the morning, but I'm just saying that I found that it works the best in the morning time. Now, let me give you another one. All right. Let me give you another one here, and I'm trying to figure out where I am. All right, number two, when building a prayer list, don't start off in one day with a huge list. It is better to start out with a small list. If you start out with a large prayer list in one day, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get discouraged with it, and you're going to throw it away. Don't do that. Start with a little prayer list. Start with a little. By the way, you'd be surprised how little I've got on my list. Now, I've got things on there. But some of you might think I've got 215 books of prayers. No, I don't. I don't have that. I keep my prayer list fairly short. Amen. That's why I said I can't put everybody on it. I put the things on there that need to be there. Organize your prayer list and keep a list. But I keep a pretty short list. Amen. All right. Now, the third thing. If you miss a day, and I might want to back up here and say you will miss a day. You will miss a day praying down the list. You're going to get sick. You ain't going to feel good. In my case, those migraines are going to come. You will get sick. Something will happen. You will miss a day. Now, it's like falling off a horse. When you miss a day, get up and get back on it. When you're building that prayer list and you're using the prayer list, if you miss a day, get back on it the next day. If you miss a day, get back on it the next day. Get back to your prayer list. Amen. Get back to it. All right. Now, another thing, let me say this to you, that I do. And now, I'm going to give you, this is just me. You don't have to, but I start out my prayer list with four things. Four things I start my prayer list with. Everyone, number one is confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I confess my sin all hours of the day. You may not see me do it, but I pray under my breath. If I have a wrong thought, I confess it to the Lord. If I say something wrong, I confess it right then. I confess my sin right then. Now, that don't keep me out of from going to heaven if I have unconfessed sins in my life. But what it does, it hinders my fellowship with God. I want to tell you, you can't pray with sin in your life. Now, you can be a hypocrite about your giving. Nobody may not know what you give. And you be a hypocrite about your living. But, sir, ma'am, you'll never be a hypocrite about your praying. Because when you go to God and you begin to pray to God, I got to tell you that God, my friend, when you go to God and you begin to pray, God will put the spotlight on the sin. You see, you can't pray and be mad at your neighbor. You can't pray and be, that's why a lot of people don't pray. They'd rather be mad than pray. Ladies and gentlemen, that is foolish. I don't be mad at some preacher. You say, preacher, what do you do if somebody does you wrong? I pray for them. I don't be mad at them. I ain't got time to. I'm not going to let one man hinder me from getting something from God. Listen, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. I'm 59 years old, okay? I've been preaching 41 years. God's given me a good ministry if I die today. Now, I don't want to die right now. I have a desire to live and preach. Matter of fact, I'm enjoying preaching at 59 more than I did at 29, a whole lot more. I'm enjoying preaching more at 59 than I did at 19. I'm enjoying preaching the Word of God. I hope I know a little bit more than I did. I still don't know nothing, but I hope I know a little bit more than I did. And I'm enjoying preaching. But let me say this to you. God take me home just whenever He wants to take me. And I well understand that. Amen. But I'm not going to spend my life. I want to do something before I die. I want to see revival in our churches. I want to see people drawn closer to God. I want to see God do something, and I'm not going to let some backslid preacher that may criticize me or do something to me, I'm not going to let that hinder my prayer life. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pray for that person. Amen. And go on about it. Amen. I'm not going to get bitter. You say, preacher, you don't realize what my wife did to me. We had a divorce and I'm so bitter. Well, you won't ever get anything from God like that. You're going to have to forgive her and go on. Well, you don't know what my husband did to our family. Well, you got to forgive him and go on. Don't let anything hinder your prayer life. Pastor, that church over there did you wrong. By the way, there are some churches that do pastors wrong. Y'all don't have to believe that, but they really are. If you got a good church and they're good to your preacher, you better thank God for it. But there are some churches that ain't good to their preacher. There are some churches, they deep down, they're wanting him to leave. God help anybody that wants your pastor to leave. Amen. Well, we're just waiting on him to leave. He's God's man. You better leave him alone. Amen. Remember what those little children got cursed for calling Elijah baldhead. You better be careful about putting your hands on the man of God. But anyway, here's the deal. When you pray, when you stay with God in prayer, amen, God will shine the spotlight on that sin in your life. So you got to have confession. And then the second thing is, this is where I think we fail, is thanksgiving. You ought to be thankful. The other day, some people in my home church did something for me and my wife. It was just outstanding. As a matter of fact, never had anybody do anything quite like what they did. Matter of fact, I'm not going to say that. But anyway, it was just amazing what they did. And I would have been wrong not to bow my head and thank the Lord for what they did for us. Let me tell you something, brother. You ought to be thankful. You know, today, children are not being taught to be thankful. You can do something for a little kid and they won't thank you. Why, you can give them something, they won't thank you. You know what? If you have a job and your boss does something nice for you, you ought to thank them. If they give you a day off, you ought to thank them. So thank you. Thank you. There's nothing wrong with saying thank you, by the way. In Philippians, it said, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. God loves it when you thank him. Remember those 10 men that God healed? Now, I believe this. I believe those 10 men got healed of leprosy. I believe only one of them got healed of his sins. The one that turned around and thanked God, I believe he's the one God said. I believe those other 9 went away lost. I believe, they got the outside healed. And God don't take back anything he does. God didn't say, well, they didn't thank me, so I'm not going to heal them. No, he let them go. And by the way, leprosy is a disease in Bible days. There's no cure for it. There's no cure today for it. There was no cure for leprosy in that day. In other words, nobody could cure a leper. I mean, you remember that Syrian king, he sent Naaman over there to the king and he said, heal this man of his leprosy. The king said, am I God? And then Elisha said, send him over here. And Elisha, God used Elisha to heal Naaman, but God did the healing, not Elisha. But Jesus Christ healed. But you know what? That one looked back and thanked him. And Jesus asked him, where are the 9? Let me say, in our lives, I think a lot of times Jesus is wondering where the 9 is. God's done so much for us, do we thank him? When God gives you a new car, do you thank him? Oh, now, preacher, I worked and I paid for the car. Do you thank God? God gave your body the strength to work. There are people right now on our church prayer list and on your church prayer list with cancer. There's some people going through some of the awfulest things. I was going down my sick list this morning on my prayer list. And I thought about some of them people, what a shape they're in, and I'm still able to do something for God. And there's some of them people never be able to do what I'm doing. Oh my, they're sick. But listen, I want to tell you something, friend. I want to be thankful. I want to thank God for my health. It ain't what maybe it ought to be, but I want to thank God it ain't what it could be either. I don't have it as hard as some people do. Well, friend, we come to the end of the radio broadcast for this Thursday, January the 22nd. We've been preaching a message on prayer, R485-3. And if you'd like to have a copy of it, we can email it to you, comments@gbiradio.org. Or we can mail it to you on CDs, free of charge, if you feel led of the Lord to help us. That's between you and the Lord. If you're making a check, make it to GBI. Our mailing address, The Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. May God bless you. Till our next broadcast.
Jesus.
Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to The Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine.
to the hungry.